Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I just heard the ad for Credibility. Credibility is an organization I've talked about many, many times in the show, and we've had guests on from there. They're the former CCCS of Greater Atlanta, and as you know, I've sat on an advisory board for them for many, many years. Clark Howard used to be on their board as well. They're a wonderful organization. And if you are having debt issues, you're underwater, trying to refinance, you have things that you can't control in your financial life, they will help. And they're giving away a copy of my book, 50 Simple Steps You Can Take to Disaster-Proof Your Finances, which I have signed, by the way. There was, tons of big boxes sitting in my office, and one day, and Sam said, "You got to sign these for Credibility." I said, "Okay." So, anyway, 9 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Excuse me. So much stuff in the air this time of year. So I want to talk today about the positives of the economy. I got two emails this week from regular listeners. They love the show. But they say that I'm always so negative about everything. And it's kind of funny. I hear this a lot. There's a misperception that journalists and reporters, the so-called fourth estate, are at the forefront of causing all things negative about the economy, right? People will tell me, and I have to not laugh because I don't want them to feel bad. They'll say, if you weren't saying things were so bad, people wouldn't believe them, and then everything would get better. I wish I had that much power. Seriously. I would do so many different things if I had the power to make people believe that life is different from the way it actually is. But people do say this to me on a very regular basis, people who are very smart and knowledgeable, and they believe it. I can tell that they believe it. But I'm telling you, it is complete and utter nonsense. Journalists and reporters don't invent the news, right? That would be called fiction. Our job is to report the real news, translate it, serve it up to you in a way that makes sense, and in my view of it, right, helps you live your life better. And that's why I got into what's known as service journalism in the first place, right? I loved real estate. I've always loved watching how my friends lived in their homes, bringing some of their insights to you over the years, breaking stories along the way. This just all seemed like a really good way to live my life. And the fact that I can do it on the radio or on my YouTube channel with our Real Estate Minutes syndicated column in my books, all of this ties together for me, helping you live your life better. Rebuilding America one house at a time. These are things that I love to do, right? But I'm not inventing it. I didn't invent the crash in 2008. I didn't invent, you know, mortgages where people were given loans that were, you know, they earned $50,000 a year and somebody let them borrow $500,000 a year with nothing else. I didn't fire 4 million people. Am I talking about how 4 million people got fired? Didn't actually cause it, right? Things happen, then we report on it. That's just how journalism is. But people have a different idea. In any case, I can't say to you, and I won't say to you, the economy is great if it isn't, and all the numbers are pointing to the negative, right? I mean, fiction is noble and noteworthy and all the rest, but, I'm only halfway through my first fiction novel, and it's been that way for about 11 years. It's just sitting on a shelf gathering dust. So fiction isn't where I'm at. Nonfiction, that's where I'm at. So when my mother, who has been a great real estate agent in Chicago for 30 years, tells me to stop being so negative about the economy because people might actually believe it, I tell her that when the economy stops producing all kinds of negative information, I'll stop saying the economy is declining. And what I can do is point out, and this is what I want to do today, I want to point out where we're getting it right. And I do say this with some concern, so this is the big banner in front of it, right? That what is really happening could be a short positive blip, right? But it might turn out to be kind of a mini mountain along a bumpy bottom rather than the climb to the top. But that said, I want to point out the four things that I think are really good news right now in the economy. And if you want to join this conversation, please feel free. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Taking your calls always and your questions, where we'll try to get to the bottom of what's really going on and then, of course, provide some answers here on the Elise Kling Show. All right. The most positive thing that I see happening right now in the economy is that mortgage interest rates are still at historic lows. I mean, they've gone up the last couple of weeks, but minutely, right, by hundredths of a percentage, right? You're just like a couple of basis points ticking up. So they are really low, super low. How low? Well, if you want to refinance a 15-year fixed rate loan, you can probably get one for less than 3% if you've got great credit. And by great credit, I mean anything over maybe 760 or 780. Below 3%, 2.75%, maybe. That is insanely low. And I know I bring this up every time I talk about how low these interest rates are, but I just have to think back to 1989, the year I got married. Yes, I've been married 24 years this year to Sam. But 1989, when we got our first place, and it was 11.75%. And I talked to somebody else last week whose first interest rate was 16% back in like 1982, 83. Okay. 16%, and now you can get a 15-year loan for less than 3%. That is a huge amount of power to the economy. Huge amount. Incredible. And because companies can borrow at near zero, anything they make is sheer profit. And so we're seeing the financial industry and the investment industry blossom with massive billion-dollar profits. Super low interest rates have been a godsend to the investment and financial communities. They've taken full advantage. How do you take advantage? You can take advantage by investing in the stock market. We talk often on the show, and you can go to my website and see what I'm talking about. Look up Dan Solin, S-O-L-I-N. He and I believe that you can be fully invested in the stock market with three different types of index mutual funds: total stock market fund, bond fund, international fund. So you can invest in the stock market, and you can refinance your mortgage or invest in real estate. And if you're going to invest in real estate, learn how to do it and go to my website and take a look at my intentional investment, intentional investor, how to be wildly successful in real estate webinar. Just the Red House on any page on my website. Click it and learn. Okay? That's how you take advantage of super low historic mortgage interest rates. Number two, positive thing. Homes are selling and prices are rising. I'm even looking around my own neighborhood, and houses that were sitting on the market for 2 and 3 years, are now selling. Are they selling at the highest point of where the prices were back in 2006, 2007? No, it's about a third less than that, or 25% less than that. But the point is they're selling and prices are rising. And every month it seems like another 500,000 people are moving from being underwater with their mortgages, where their houses are worth less than the balance they owe, to positive equity. And that's an amazing thing psychologically, to move hundreds of thousands of people from negative equity to positive equity is a huge gift. And if you're one of those people, you know that's a huge gift because it allows you to draw a line in the financial sandbox in which you live and play and start to repair your life and credit. And if you want to sell and haven't been able to sell up until now, you can probably sell and move. Before, you might have listed and nothing would have happened, and now it is. So getting America moving helps families take jobs in other locations, provides better living for their own families. It helps them feel better about themselves. It is good all the way around. So homes are selling, prices are rising, number two on my positive list. Right? So that's also really important. Number three, the budget deficit is falling a whole lot faster than anticipated. Like $200 billion faster. This does not stop or negate my main contention that we are going to hit a massive wall with the budget deficit because so many people are becoming seniors and we're going to have so many entitlements and God knows we'll keep fighting wars left and right. So we have a longer term problem with the budget deficit, but for now, it's fallen $200 billion faster than anticipated, and a huge chunk of that is thanks to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac contributing an unexpected huge lump of change and rising tax revenues. So that's good. And then the fourth piece of good news, I think, is that cars are selling. So over the past few years, Americans are driving cars till they become rust buckets, right? My car is 10 years old this year, has just 100,000 miles in it. It's running better than it ever has, although there's yet another thing I have to take it in for. But whatever. The average age of most Americans' cars were about 10, 11 years, and that meant for every new car you saw on the street, there's like a 20-year-old bucket of bolts being held together with chewing gum. Those cars eventually die. People need to replace them. So cars are selling. And that means Americans here in Detroit, in the Midwest, in the West Coast, who are working in the auto industry, are going to keep their jobs and they're going to make cars and people will buy them. And that's great. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't a problem going forward with kids in their 20s, like my kids, who are in their teens, and they don't really like to drive, and they'd rather their mother drive them around, but that's another story. So, some economic dangers, but also some good stuff. So let's focus on the positive. How can I help you today? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So should you buy a home for investment or lifestyle? It's a great distinction, and I'm sure you've got some thoughts about it.
Well, you know, even the best investors that I know tend to like the properties that they buy. So in a lot of ways, they're buying it for lifestyle. But I think what happened was when people heard, well, real estate's, you know, on sale, real estate's a great investment, real estate's blah, 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 people got the idea that, you know, buying a house for investment was the way to go. And so they would try to negotiate based on investment. And then they figured out, well, gosh, I'm kind of emotional about this. And, you know, it became a bittersweet transaction. I think the first thing everybody should look at is how they're going to spend their time, especially if it's a home they're going to live in, you know, how they're going to spend their time and the quality of that and transaction and investment for them. You know, there is nothing more powerful than owning a home. There is no transaction more powerful than owning a home. You drive up to it every day. You see where your money's going. So I really think people need to focus on lifestyle before they focus on investment.
Are you worried at all that the current demand for market, for buying a house in this market is sort of setting us up for another bubble?
Not really. I think we're going about it smarter. I think lenders are going about it smarter. I think people have been cautioned. And I really feel like at least the buyers, we deal with hundreds of buyers at Duffy Realty of Atlanta, hundreds of buyers every month. I really feel like buyers are being smarter about it. It's not like, you know, the late 2000 or the early 2000s, late 1999, I can remember people moving from a $200,000 house to an $800,000 house because they had public IPO money sitting in their fake account. And, you know, I just feel like people are really being more cautious about it.
Have you got a little more on your website?
Of course, RhondaDuffy.com.
All right. Well, everybody should go to RhondaDuffy.com and read your blog, which is actually full of great information. Thanks for being with us, Rhonda.
Thanks, Elise.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Elise Glink Show next on News Talk WSB. Minutes past the hour. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are our numbers. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. If you're interested in investing in real estate, go to my website, think.com. thinklink.com, thinklink.com. Check out the Intentional Investor series, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. Just click on the red house. All right, let's go to the phones. Ulysses joins us on the line. Hi, Ulysses.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
How can I help today?
I always hear people talking about being underwater, and I kind of know what it is, but not exactly. And I bought this house on an FHA loan, and I have to pay PMI, and I want to understand when can I get out of the PMI. So when taking consideration, trying to understand the underwater, do I look to the payoff amount or to the financed amount?
Right. So every month that you pay down a mortgage, what happens is you pay a little bit of principal and a lot of interest. And then somewhere around 10 years or so on a 30-year loan, that gets a little more equalized, and then it flips again about another at 20 years, and then you're paying mostly principal and very little interest. So in the beginning of a loan, if you just bought this loan, most of what you're paying is interest on the loan. Being underwater means that your house is worth less than the mortgage amount. So if you just bought this house, it probably is not underwater. Did you get 100% financing?
Was like 95%.
So you put 5% down. So when did you buy this house?
I bought in December.
Okay. So in December when you bought that house, you would not have been underwater, right? Because you put 5% down and the house appraised out in value. So now homes are starting to go up. They don't go up that fast, though. I mean, the difference from December to now might be zero. So in terms of an increase. So whatever you're paying on the principal balance, right, reduces or adds to, I should say, the amount of equity in the property. So when you're adding to the equity, that keeps you from being underwater. So let's say the house was $100,000 and you put down $5,000 and you have a $95,000 loan. And the first month, $38 goes towards paying down the principal, and so now your loan is for $94,963. That is the amount that you measure against what the market value is. Now, the difference here is that when you sell a house, there are all kinds of expenses. And so when you sell them, that reduces the amount of equity that's in the property, because you're going to have a sales commission and you'll have some transfer taxes and all the rest. So for the first couple of years, unless you're throwing extra money towards your principal, you might be, when you sell, break even or less than break even.
I see, because the house now is worth 20% more than what I paid. That's why I'm...
So you've got a lot of room. If that's true, let's say you paid $100,000 and now the house is worth $120,000 and you put 5% down or $5,000, so you have a $95,000 loan and a house worth $120,000. That's a great place to be. You're not underwater. You have a lot of positive equity.
Is there a time to drop the PMI or too soon?
Well, they won't drop it right away. You're going to have to make those payments for a couple of years, but if you want to drop it right away and you really do believe you have that much equity in the property, you could refinance to a conventional loan.
Oh, I see.
And you would only want to do that if you at least have 20% in equity.
Okay.
What's the interest rate on your loan?
3.25%.
3.25%. So
it's a great deal.
It's a great deal. So here's the move that you would want to make, right?
Okay.
Move you would want to make is to take a 30-year loan and refinance it to a 15-year loan.
We see.
Right?
Yep.
And get a 2.75% rate and not overpay on points. Because then you get what I call the home run refinance. Number one, you lower the interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you lower your payments, or in this case, you might break even on payments, which would be okay.
Okay.
And number three is you're managing your closing costs, right? So lower the interest rates, lower the payments, manage the closing costs, and most importantly, you're shortening the loan term by 15 years.
15 years, that's awesome.
And that would be amazing. So that, if you're going to refinance and get rid of private mortgage insurance, you want to make sure you really truly have the 20% in equity, and then you want to go for the 15-year because you will save a ton of money, and I suppose you have some things to do with that money.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. So what happens with a 15-year loan is that you're just paying down the loan so quickly that you're generating even more positive equity. And, you know, you'll at 2.75% on a 15-year loan, man, that's you're hardly paying any interest at all.
Yep.
So that's why I call it the home run refinance.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Let me know what happens. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Cheryl joins us on the line. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
What's going on in your world?
Well, it could be better. We are in one of those underwater situations.
Okay.
And we have been hearing for months about a Part 3 coming into existence, and we've been trying to find out something about it. So far, it evidently is just a figment of someone's imagination. We have a home that's financed through a credit union. And
Cheryl, we need to break in. We're going to break in for breaking weather, so stand by a moment. Thank you. It is 46 minutes past the hour. Cheryl, you're still with us, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we were talking about how you've been hearing that HARP 3.0 is maybe coming into existence, but you can't. It's so far a figment of somebody's imagination. So you were just telling me how your home is financed. Is it with the credit union?
Yes.
Okay.
And they would possibly do a loan modification, which could reduce our interest rate. But we are so far underwater, we actually live in Clayton County, and the value of our home has dropped tremendously. And since 2007, we refinanced in 2007, and our interest rate's like 5.75%. And the credit union would possibly do a loan modification if you pay up front for them to look at it, which that money's not refundable. If it doesn't appraise for enough to refinance, then you've just lost your money and you don't refinance, and it wouldn't cut the cost of the monthly payments. So it would just cut the life of the loan, and that's not a help to us.
Right. How much do you need? How much help do you actually need to be able to keep your home? And how much has your home fallen in value? Is it?
Oh, in 2007, it appraised at 205, and right now we would be lucky if it appraised at 120.
Wow.
We're in Clayton County, and evidently being in Clayton County is not a good thing right now. If we're lucky, we could possibly get 125. And this is a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath home, and we owe $170,000 on it.
So I don't have any great news for you, Cheryl, because the credit union has to want to help you. It's entirely up to them. And so the help that they're offering isn't help that's going to be helpful.
Several months ago, I talked to them, and you're probably going to find it laughable, or I found it sad and laughable at the same time. Their recommendation was to, now this was their finance manager, suggested that we just file bankruptcy and walk off and leave it. Well, we've always strived to have good credit and to pay our bills and to do what's right. That has not been an option for us, but the longer it goes, the more it's looking like that might be the only option there is.
Cheryl, I want to talk to you for a little bit about what's right, but we have to take another traffic break. Can you hang with me so we can talk about this in a moment? All right. Stand by. We'll be back in just a minute or two. It is 49 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time. We're starting with Cheryl's today, so stay tuned. 404-872-0750 if you want to join the conversation. We'll be back with in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Trying to call home all of my change.
off Memorial Day weekend, Friday night with WSB's Herman Cain on the Marriottist and on the Marietta Square. Herman's continues. It's free and open to everyone. WSB's Captain Herb is just one of Herman's special guests. So bring your long chair and celebrate Memorial Day, plus rapid-fire questions and answers with WSB's 9 to noon host Friday evening. More at thehermancainshow.com. 56 minutes past the hour. We've been talking with Cheryl, who, you know, whose house is worth about half of what it was. Clayton County, not experiencing some of the regeneration that I talked about earlier. Cheryl, you asked me if what I thought of the recommendations you're getting to file bankruptcy and walk off and leave your house, and that you've always strived to have good credit and pay bills and do what's right. And what I'm going to tell you is going to sound counterintuitive, but making your mortgage payments isn't a moral issue. It's a business arrangement that you came to with the bank. And you agreed to make payments in exchange for getting the interest rate that you got. But the bank agreed to take your house back if you stopped making payments. And that, in essence, is what a business arrangement is. It's give and take. And it doesn't mean that you and your house, you and your spouse, are not good people if things have changed in your lives and you can't make the payments that you were supposed to make. And so you have to understand that if you can no longer afford your mortgage and nobody is going to give you help, which they're not obligated to do, that you're going to have to make changes that put your family first. And that may mean leaving this house behind. And the one thing I want you to understand is that when you are rebuilding your family and your family's finances, that a house is nothing more than four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. And for you, it's very important that you move forward and get some security for your family. And if that means bankruptcy, so be it. It's 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Live on Sunday, 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. So we have, obviously, a lot of breaking news with the weather today, and so we're breaking in and out of the show. I know that may be confusing for some of you who are coming in on part of a conversation, and we are carrying conversations over to next breaks, things that we don't normally do. But, you know, the weather is severe, and there's a lot of really damaging hail in the area. I think I heard them say it could be like 1-inch hail, very, very dangerous and damaging. So we're going to keep breaking into the show. That's why we do a live show as opposed to a tape show. 404-872-0750. If I can answer your questions today, I'm happy to do that as well. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, where we are pointing you in all kinds of great directions. If you want to buy investment real estate, we have I have a brand new, fabulous series of webinars called Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. Go to my website, thinkglink.com. Click on the red house. It'll tell you what you need to know. We also have a series of ebooks that'll be ready in about 2 weeks, and we'll put those up as well. So lots of great stuff over at ThinkLink. And be sure to sign up for the free weekly newsletter while you're there. When you hear that noise, by the way, it just reminds you there's severe weather in the area, and stay tuned to News Talk WSB because we'll be breaking in with weather announcements. 10 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Nick joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm dry. What about you?
I'm just barely.
Okay,
thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was hoping to get some advice. You know, just my situation is kind of as follows. I'm in a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's a conventional. My loan is not Fannie Mae, not Freddie Mac backed, so I'm very limited as to what refi options I have.
Are you underwater?
To a point, you know, obviously an appraisal is going to be necessary to really determine the amount. I mean, the original home purchase was in 2008 at 327, and my current balance is at 286.
Okay.
The problem is I'm at 6 1/8 as far as the rate is concerned, which, you know, in today's market is obviously not attractive.
Sure.
And so the question is, you know, considering the market, does it make more sense to focus more towards selling the property now that the values are on the rise, or to spend the money to do a refi, you know, considering I may have to come out of pocket, you know, somewhere $10,000 to $15,000, and then also be rolling new closing costs into my mortgage amount, which is then just going to raise the balance that I need to sell the home for if I was to decide to do so shortly.
So you really have to decide what you want to do, right? Why would you want to sell this house? What is it about this house and where you are in your life that this house no longer makes sense?
Well, if you had an hour, I could explain it all to you. But
I'm sorry, we only have like 42 minutes left in the show, plus commercial breaks and breaking in for bad weather. So could you compress a little bit?
Well, you know, the mortgage is in two names, and the other party needs to be taken off of the mortgage. So doing something as far as either refining or selling is kind of imperative.
Who's living in the house, Nick?
I am.
And who's the other party on the name?
An ex.
An ex. Okay. So the ex...
He wants to be off the mortgage, you know, which turns it to me refining or just selling the property. And logistically, it's not very convenient or conducive for me to get to work or really anything else lifestyle-wise.
Why did you buy this house?
With the relationship, it made sense as far as, you know, being around both families and maybe starting a family, but that's obviously not happening anymore.
Okay. So when life changes, you can't be afraid to change with it. So refinancing a house that is not convenient for you, that you don't want to live in, that you need to refinance or do something with anyway, makes no sense to me. And it makes no sense if you think about it carefully. You want to be done with this woman, and you want to be done with this house and buy something that's more affordable, that is nearer to where you work. That's the smart move. So why are you hedging on that? Because you already know that that's an option. Why are you hanging around thinking about low interest rates? You'd be much better off selling this house and then turning around and buying something at today's historic low interest rates that you actually want to live in for the next 5 years.
Agreed. The devil's advocate with that is, you know, assuming that you wait out the market, you know, put your home on the market, try to wait for the sale, and if the appraisal amounts are going to come back, let's just say it's 260, and then I've got real estate commissions, an effort for me to sell, I've got an out-of-pocket expense of, you know, $20,000 to $25,000, at which it would make more sense for me financially to, you know, reduce my monthly payment, reduce my interest rate while I'm staying in the home, which could be, you know, an unforeseeable amount of time.
But you're going to have the same problem, because if the balance, what did you say, it's, you don't even think the house is worth what your balance is at 286?
I'd like to hope that it is, but without an appraisal and attempt to refi or purchase, you know, that's an unknown.
Yeah, but you can call around and see what agents are selling houses for in the neighborhood, and you can look that up. It's public information. I mean, there's some work to be done there, but it's not like you can't find out without spending $300 on an appraisal.
Yeah, and I've done that to a point, and really, you know, the amount that we're coming up with is somewhere very near payoff, assuming an appraisal would probably come back somewhere between 280 and 290.
So then one option for you would be to use a discount broker who doesn't charge 6% but might only charge you like 3.25%, so that you're minimizing those costs.
Okay,
right?
And maybe explain it to me a little bit better as to what my angle is there. What am I doing?
So there are brokers in the area who will negotiate the commission, so you're not committing to 6%. Maybe you're committing to a quarter of a percent or a flat fee. You could try listing it for sale by owner and then offering to pay the half commission to the buyer's agent. You always want to pay the buyer's agent, right? Because they're the ones bringing it. So you could put a sign in your yard and say, buyer's brokers welcomed. If you're in a neighborhood where homes are actually selling and it's a great neighborhood and there's a great school district, it really should not right now, unless you live in Clayton County, be too hard to sell your house.
Right. Yeah, no, I've got the agent side covered. I mean, I have an agent that will do it for no commission on her end, you know, obviously just leaving 3% for the buyer's agent. So your advice is to put it on the market and sell it and say it sticks, you know, because my fear was if the home doesn't sell, then, you know, once it falls off the market, I have to wait 6 months before I can refi.
You do. You absolutely do. But by the same token, at the end of 6 months, you know, you might try selling again. But my feeling is, if you price this house right, you're better off getting out. And frankly, if your mortgage is worth what the house is worth and it's break even and there's no equity, you're going to have to put money in to get a refinance at any decent rate.
Right, I am. Correct.
So the $20,000 that you might spend to sell this property, you're going to have to put in anyway. So it's lost money on a cash basis. Right? You're not actually not going to get away with paying some cash here. So I think you want to get rid of the house and then get rid of whatever cash you're going to spend. And I know it feels wrong. It feels like you're throwing good money after bad. But trust me, you are not throwing good money after bad. What you're doing is closing the chapter in this part of your life, and you are moving to something that's more convenient, more affordable, that you can finance, that you actually want to stay in for the next 5 to 7 years.
Right.
That's what you're doing, and it's going to cost you some cash, but it's going to cost you cash if you refi, because you don't have any equity in this house.
Well, true. I mean, I guess the only thought on that was that, you know, if you do a refi and save $500 a month, at the end of 60 months, you've saved $5,000. If my outlay is $7,500 to refi, then it's a break even in about, you know, 16 months.
Yeah, except that you have to put in, you're not going to be able to refi with zero equity.
Sure, absolutely.
So now you have to put the cash. Now you have to put in the cash. It's a cash in refinance. So if they require 10 or 15% or 20% to actually get today's super low interest rates, you maybe are only going to be able to lower it from 6 1/8 to 4 1/2.
Right?
Because you have to put in 20%. So that's $58,000 you're going to have to put in to refinance this loan, closing in on 60 if you include the closing costs. So you could spend $60,000 out of pocket to refinance this loan and get a loan for like 2 3/4 on a 15-year or 3%. So you'll save something on a monthly basis. But now you've taken all this cash and you've used it. Or you could just cash out, sell this house, and then you buy something new that you actually want to live in for the next 5 to 7 years. You started out by telling me this isn't convenient.
Right?
No, it's not convenient. You're not going to build a new life here. Like, let's say you meet somebody else. You sound like a friendly guy. So, you know, let's say you meet somebody else. I hope that happens for you. Is she going to want to live in this house?
No.
Okay. So if you're not going to want to live in this house, I predict that even if you refi in the next 5 years, you're not going to make it 5 years in this house.
No, I agree.
Because you're going to meet somebody and want to start a life. So...
Agreed.
So it's time to start your life.
All right. Do you say sell, sell, sell?
I'm saying get out, draw a line in the sand, cut your losses, and go move to somewhere where you really want to live, where you can imagine living for the next 5 to 7 years with somebody new, and then go out and start that life and lock in the super low interest rates on somewhere else and begin again, because you're going to be cash out of pocket either way. And to save $5,000 over 5 years is meaningless. Because if you can get rid of this loan and then buy something else at 2.5% or 3%, right? I'd rather you use the cash you have on hand as a down payment on the new place. So I think you've got your future ahead of you, and I just want you to reach out and grab it. And you got to say goodbye to this house, just like you said goodbye to your ex.
Thank you.
Let me know what happens, okay, Nick? It is 20 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, 404-872-0750. I'll be back in a moment with more and a prize pack and more traffic and weather on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Our number, 404-872-0750. I wanted to quickly do our prize pack. The value, $399, and includes A family four-pack of tickets to the Georgia Renaissance Festival, now through June 2nd in Fairburn. A pair of tickets to see Michael McDonald in concert October 13th at Atlanta Symphony Hall. Produced by ASO Presents in a synthetic oil change, courtesy of Braxton Automotive. $399. Call the prize pack line, 404-741-0750. All right, we're going to go back. There's a lot more weather traffic to give you, so we're going to do that, and then we'll come back for another half hour of the show. Stay tuned to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Blank is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
38 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Blank, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Online at Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Be sure to follow me there. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. And if you're investing in real estate, be sure to click on the red house on the website. It'll take you to the Intentional Investor series that we've created of webinars, how to be wildly successful in real estate. You'll get all the information there that you need. In some of our other places around the globe, you might find ThinkLink content very useful, like our YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips, with about 370 videos. Or you might try the Equifax Finance blog for all kinds of great financial information, CBS News for real estate news, and Yahoo. 404-872-0750. We've been taking your calls all day today. Breaking in for weather. There's just horrific weather out there. Drive safe if you are driving and listening to the show. Let's go to the phones. Betsy joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Betsy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been trying to get you. I was trying to follow right after Rhonda Duffy followed regarding doing a house. I was just wondering how necessary is it to remodel your kitchen before you put your house on the market for sale? Because I need to do that, and I just know that somebody young is going to come in, and they're going to do it all over again.
Well, then, if they're going to do it again, you probably shouldn't do it. But that said, what makes you think that your house needs a new kitchen?
Well, my stove just went out. That's why. And that means I have to replace a whole new stove. And I know I can't match the tile. I know I can't fill up the hole where the stove is, you know, without going into a lot of money. I've been checking on stoves and all. And I had a microwave, well, actually it's an oven above it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have those anymore.
All right. So your feeling is that just because of a stove, which might be a $600 appliance or a $1,000 appliance.
Oh, it's going to be more than that.
No. Just the stove.
Okay.
You're gonna maybe spend $10,000 or $15,000 on a kitchen.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking.
Uh-huh.
There's no stove that you could buy that would just fit this space, and then you could install a separate oven above it. There's nothing else. You've looked around.
Yeah, a little. I've looked a little bit around, but so far what I've been finding.
Okay. Well, so I would never advise you to spend $18,000 or $20,000 when you really need a $1,000 fix.
Uh-huh.
But if you think that your whole kitchen needs to be redone because of this, then what you need to do is look into doing it as nicely but as inexpensively as possible.
Uh-huh.
So do you need to replace all the kitchen cabinets? If you
no.
do, okay, you don't?
No.
Okay.
I have to paint them for make them, you know, bring them up to date a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you need new hardware?
That's another thing. I should, but all I know is it just seems like a horrible expense when I know somebody's going to change it.
Well, it depends what you do.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, if you built out the kitchen with IKEA cabinetry.
Yeah.
And some sort of really nice finish cabinet, countertop.
Yeah.
And a new stove and a new refrigerator. Right? And a new sink, because if you're putting everything else in, you will spend somewhere between, I don't know how big your kitchen is, $10,000 and $15,000.
True.
Now the question is, what kind of return are you going to get in your kitchen? Now, if everything else in the neighborhood is selling with a new kitchen, then you should probably reduce.
How do I find out if the houses around me, their condominiums, they're around me if they are selling with new kitchens?
Well, you should go to open houses.
Okay.
What do you do on Sundays? You should go Saturdays and Sundays. Whenever any of the apartment buildings or units are on the market are open, you should go to the open house and take a look and see what your competition is. Because you have to inform yourself before you make this big investment.
Right.
So the other thing you should do is you should talk to some real estate agents when you go to these open houses about what they're seeing everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And see what they say that you would need to do to sell your place.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be interviewing these people anyway. So you're basically doing some early legwork. But before you spend $1, I would try to figure out what is it you need to do and what kind of return you're going to get on your investment.
Right.
And the return may not be financial, like you may not be able to sell your house for $15,000 or $20,000 more than you put in the kitchen,
uh-huh.
although that is the number one payback on a home improvement project is a new kitchen.
Uh-huh.
You may not be able to get every dollar out of it, but you may be able to sell right away and nobody else can.
Uh-huh.
So those are all things that you have to put into consideration. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to sell your place?
Oh, I just want to move.
Why?
Because I'm getting older.
Okay, so you're in a condo, which is all in one level now. Where do you want to move to? It's a two-floor condo.
And I need to go to a one floor.
Okay.
Because of my age.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where you want to go?
No, I don't. That's the problem.
And do you need to move immediately?
No.
So then...
Fortunately, I don't.
Okay, well, that's good. So maybe what you want to do is plan out this renovation... And then plan to live there for another year or two after you're done.
Yes.
And then put the house on the market.
Yes. Good idea.
All right.
Well, all right.
You got a lot of work to do, Betsy.
I do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Enjoy the day. Thanks. It's 46 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to continue to break in with news, weather, and traffic as needed. Obviously, the weather today is just horrific, and we want you to be safe on the roads. As you hear that little pinging sound, it's just telling you that we're paying attention, that there is severe weather in the area, and we'll have the latest updates here on News Talk WSB. 46 minutes past the hour, Herb joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Herb.
Hey, Elise. I love your show.
Well, thank you. It's nice to have you on.
My wife and I own a condominium in northern Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and it's financed by a local bank, but we have just bought the adjacent unit for cash.
Okay.
And want to cut a hole in the wall to join the units together. And although the bank, you know, has not advanced any money for the additional unit, they told me they're going to call the loan, unless we give them a mortgage on the new combined unit. And frankly, my judgment is to call their bluff.
Well, they might call the loan, but you might want to call a real estate lawyer in Michigan first.
Okay.
Here's why.
Yeah.
Whenever you have two separate real estate parcels and you join
right.
them together, that becomes a single property. So think about your property. You're joining these two properties together by cutting a hole in the wall.
Right.
And if you go to sell it, and you don't actually do the joining, you sell it as a single unit, but you don't officially join them together,
yeah.
it could compromise the lien that the lender has on the one unit.
Okay.
So they still have the right to the one unit, but what if your unit disappears into the other unit?
Sure.
So you could see how somebody, not you and your wife, but somebody else, could make their lien invalid. And
yeah.
so they want assurance that you're not going to do that, and so to them the best way to do it is to get a lien on the other part of the property as well, because
right.
that of course is going to force you to join the two together.
Sure.
Now, could you cut a hole in the wall and they never know? Sure, but when you go to sell, they're going to find
yeah.
out. So then you
sure.
would have to separate them again, and I think probably what you want to do is you want to have them both together, and you would sell them as a single unit, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So one way to do this is to just join the two together, refinance the loan to encompass the entire property.
Yeah.
And since you paid cash for it, you'll now have maybe only 40%, you know, your loan-to-value ratio will be about maybe 30-40%.
Yeah,
you'll have it
all right.
right? And so you'll get, like, the best interest rate anyway, and then you're getting rid of this lender.
That's great.
So that would be a way to do it. But I would talk to a real estate attorney, because when you combine properties,
sure,
things can happen, and you want to make sure that you're doing it exactly the right way, so you're protecting yourself, you're getting the very best protection you can for the property, and all the rest.
Great advice.
All right?
Thanks, Elise.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a great day. Stay dry out there. It's 49 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. We're online all the time, having conversations on Twitter. Please join me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter, thinkglink.com. It is 50 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, I'm Elise Glink, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. 57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time. You know, it feels like we haven't had much time to chat today, and I'm sorry about that, but that little sound means that weather is in the area, very severe weather, and you've been hearing how we have so many real storms, thunderstorms, lightning, tornadoes. So stay tuned to News Talk WSB. It's been really important to get you this weather information and traffic information as quickly as possible today. And we're going to keep doing that all day for you. You can expect, as you listen in to the different shows this afternoon, we're just going to keep breaking in with news, weather, and traffic as we need to, just to keep you safe on the roads. So what does that mean for our show? Well, it kind of means that our time is up. So I know for those people holding on, I'm so sorry. Please email me at questions@thinklink.com. Questions@thinklink.com. thinkglink.com. You can also sign up for the free weekly newsletter. If you forget, just go to the website. There's an Ask Elise button. You can click on it and send me an email that way as well. And then don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Glink, @GLINK, because we have lots of great information that goes out all week long. All right, so music is playing. Time is up. I'm so sorry about that, but I'll be back next Sunday with another edition of the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time. I hope you'll join me then. And in the meantime, stay tuned to thinklink.com. Have a safe and a dry Sunday, everybody.